We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
All this weekend, you'll have chances to win the new Clat 2 album on Z93. Win it. Listen, and decide for yourself.
We still don't know what it is or where it comes from, but there's something there. It's been tracked around the Earth by radar, traveling at a rate of 4,000 miles an hour. This is not another flying saucer scare.
This is Drew Pearson. We bring you this special radio television broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon. The arrival of a spaceship in Washington. The Army has taken every precaution to meet any emergency which may develop. Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I think something is happening.
Now, some people have gone so far as to say that they think the Beatles snuck into a recording studio to cut this album just to see if they could get away with it.
I came here to give you these facts. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Let It Be is considered the Beatles' final album. Or is it? August 1976. Capitol Records, which for nearly 10 years released the Beatles' albums, quietly, without fanfare or promotion, releases the album Plateau. For 5 months, the album sells slowly, drawing light critical acclaim and some airplay on American radio stations. But Plateau remains a secret. The album contains neither pictures nor names of the band members. Capitol Records itself has no actual knowledge of the group, where they're from, their ages, names, even how many members there are. For 5 months, the Plateau album hibernates. But a number of music experts notice a large number of striking similarities between the mysterious Plateau and the Beatles. For 7 years, the public has clamored for a Beatles reunion. Could the mysterious Plateau be the Beatles?
He's a robot. Without you, what could he do?
There's no limit to what he could do. He could destroy the Earth.
All vehicles, close in. Let's go.
February 13th, 1977. An article appears in the Providence Sunday Journal. An article not only drawing musical comparisons between Plateau and the Beatles, but also bringing to light many clues paralleling the two groups. The article was written by Journal Entertainment reporter and self-admitted Beatlemaniac, Stephen Smith. Among other topics, Smith discussed musical similarities between the two groups, in particular, two Plateau songs, Sub Rosa Subway and Dr. Marvello.
The main, you know, the two most main ones are, you know, Sub Rosa Subway, you know.
Right.
And Dr. Marvello, Sub Rosa Subway, I mean, everything on it sounds Beatlish.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the voice, McCartney's, you know, it sounds like McCartney's voice. And then at the end of the song, it sounds almost exactly like All You Need Is Love. Dr. Marvello sounds like George Harrison, you know, a la Blue Jay Way,
exactly.
Right. With the sitar. And, you know, reverse tape effects in the song itself, too. And, you know, really, how many groups do you know today that use a sitar? Dr. Marvello and Sub Rosa Subway.
Yeah.
Were both copyrighted in 1974.
Yeah.
Okay, the end of 73, beginning of 74, Ringo's album, Ringo, was being recorded. And on that album are all four Beatles. Paul McCartney, in 73 sometime, said that he intimates he was, you know, wasn't averse to a Beatles reunion. And a little farther on, he said the only thing that was keeping them apart was a contractual hold with Alan Klein, the contractual hold of the Beatles' name with Alan Klein. Now all the suits are solved. January 1974, John Lennon says that he would go for a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul McCartney said that, yes, he would like to get together, you know, a reunion of the Beatles, but not as the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
under another name. George Harrison says if the Beatles ever did get back together, they would have to do it for the music's sake first.
The first obvious tie together is Plateau itself from, first of all, the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still,
right,
with Michael
right.
Rennie, plus Ringo's Goodnight Vienna album, having the phrase Plateau Barata Nicto on there. Which immediately ties it together with this. There was a big poster that came with the album Goodnight Vienna.
I didn't.
And Ringo was there, and they had put Ringo's head on the Michael Rennie body, and he was standing on the spaceship next to the robot with his hand out.
Yeah,
and the phrase underneath
the album,
it was Klaatu Barada Nikto.
All right, there's a line in Sub Rosa Subway that says, New York City in the morning sun were awoken by the strangest sound.
Yeah.
Now, the Beatles, when they first came to America, landed in New York City, right, Kennedy Airport, they played the Ed Sullivan Show in Carnegie Hall. Now, the next line says, reportedly as far as Washington, the tremors shook the earth. The next place the Beatles played in America was the Washington Coliseum.
Once again, as in the conversation with O'Malley, the name of Klaatu's manager, Frank Davies, was mentioned.
You talked with Davies.
Yes, I did. He did state flatly, no, it is not the Beatles. He said, no, it is none of the Beatles. But if he did say yes, then he'd be telling us who it was. If he said, I can't answer that, it'd be like saying, well, yes, it is. He had to say no. And he came back to me and said, you know, like, well, if it is the Beatles, you'll, you know. And he stopped. And I said, yeah, I'll feel like $1 million for figuring this out, you know.
You quote him as saying,
everything that I've summarized is pretty accurate. That's what he told me.
Klaatu, the weird Earth visitor in the 20th Century Fox film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, learns a quaint Earth custom. He receives a certificate of merit from the science fiction convention at New Orleans. It's presented by Chairman Moore for the faithfulness of the film to the best science fiction traditions.
Klaatu, the Beatles. One and the same? Who can say? Not Capitol Records. They can't. They don't know. Is Klaatu secretly the Beatles? Is this simply a complex joke perpetrated by the greatest rock and roll band of all time? Is Klaatu one or more of the Beatles, but not all four? Is Klaatu a Beatle-backed or Beatle-produced band? Or is Klaatu a completely unknown but ingenious, talented band? Is Klaatu the Beatles? Decide for yourself. This is Klaatu.
Back in 1870, just beneath the Great White Way, Alfred Beach worked secretly, risking all to write a dream.
Klaatu formed after musician John Woluchuk found himself working as an assistant engineer at Rush producer Terry Brown's Toronto Sound Studio. Woluchuk was hired on in September of 1974, and soon after, Terry Brown heard and liked some demos that Woluchuk had recorded with his guitar player friend Dee Long, who Woluchuk had met when they worked together at an electronics factory. Terry Brown signed them to his production company and offered them free studio time. They soon recruited a drummer named Terry Draper, and they had a band. They settled on the name Klaatu after a character from a science fiction film called The Day the Earth Stood Still. Based on the short story Farewell to the Master by American science fiction writer Harry Bates, the 1951 film was the brainchild of the producer Julian Blaustein and directed by Robert Wise, from a script by Edmund North. In the film, a flying saucer is spotted orbiting Earth. It lands in Washington, D.C., near the Washington Monument. An alien emerges and is shot by a jumpy soldier. A large and powerful robot called Gort emerges from the spacecraft and destroys the military's weapons. The wounded alien, Klaatu, orders Gort to stop and is taken to a hospital. He requests to address all world leaders, but is instead held captive. Klaatu heals himself and escapes, wanting to learn more about humanity. He moves into a boarding house and befriends a widow and her young son, but they eventually figure out who he is. In the end, Klaatu is able to address a group of assembled scientists, and he informs them that he represents an interplanetary organization that created a police force of invincible robots like Gort. Klaatu concludes, quote, "Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer." Klaatu and Gort then re-enter the spaceship and depart. The trio Klaatu recorded their first album during studio downtime. A quote from Terry Draper, "Terry Brown was our engineer and co-producer, the fourth member of the band. He made us sound fabulous. The album was recorded over 3 years. We all had regular jobs, so we used to record in the evenings and late at night." With the album complete and ready to go, Terry Brown's friend Frank Davies signed Klaatu to his label Daffodil Records in Canada. A quote from Davies, "I'd recorded and produced two or three of the Daffodil artists at Terry Brown's studio in Toronto. He played me two or three of the Klaatu tracks, and I told him he didn't need to play me anything else. I wanted to sign them. My label was centered in Canada, and what I would do with my artists back then was go out and put together a U.S. deal, or deals around the world. I played the tracks to Rupert Perry, who was the head of A&R at Capitol Records in the U.S. He loved them and said he'd like to sign the band. The guys wanted to try a new approach. They wouldn't do photos or interviews or have a bio. I was cool with that. It was different. They weren't going to play live either. We were three unknown guys from Toronto and didn't want the focus to be on us as individuals," said John Woolachuk. "We really wanted the music to be the focal point. Also, we knew that the music we wanted to record couldn't possibly be replicated on stage by three people. They didn't know who we were," Woolachuk confirms, referring to Capitol Records. "They signed us on the strength of hearing the first album. It was Frank that swung that deal on those conditions. They must have believed in the music enough to take a chance." "Capitol never got to meet the band," said Davies. "Rupert went along with the conditions because he wanted the band. When Klaatu's first album, 347 EST, was released, the band members were not identified on the album or in any of the promotional material. No names or images. The title 347 EST, or 347 Eastern Standard Time, is the time that Klaatu's spaceship landed on Earth in the film The Day the Earth Stood Still. Capitol released it as a self-titled album in the United States.
When Woody hit the dunes, flying foxtails and a glory.
So when the record was released, the band members gave no interviews, they did not tour, no live performances. The only credit on the record says written by Klaatu. The Klaatu album earned several enthusiastic reviews. Canada's Record Month called it a terrific concept album, while Trouser Press said it was, quote, an impressive sci-fi answer to Bowie. But the glowing reviews did not translate into record sales. By the end of 1976, the album had sold only 15,000 copies. Then, on February 17, 1977, an article with the headline, Could Klaatu Be Beatles? Mystery is a Magical Tour, appeared in the Providence Journal in Providence, Rhode Island, written by a young journalist named Steve Smith. A quote from Smith, "We used to get a bunch of albums to review. If they weren't reviewed, they went in a pile, and if you wanted anything, you grabbed it. I saw the Klaatu album, took it home, and listened to it. It had Beatles-sounding stuff, so I started researching, and couldn't get any answers. I started making phone calls, and I convinced my boss to let me write an article." This is that article. "Just before Christmas, I listened to a refreshing new album that sounded incredibly Beatle-ish. I checked the album, entitled Klaatu, for names or pictures of the musicians, but there were none. All credits were given to Klaatu. Curious, I called Capitol Records and was told it was, quote, a mystery group. Their names are being kept secret by Capitol Records and Frank Davies, who handles the group's so far clandestine affairs. The band will not submit to any publicity pictures. Capitol Press release says that, quote, they want to be known for their music and not for whom they are. They are rumored to be independently wealthy. Capitol claims to have no knowledge of the identities of the band members, but this raises a question. Why would Capitol invest in an unknown? Klaatu's album brings back memories of the Beatles on every song, especially Sub Rosa Subway, a song about the building of the New York subway system, and Dr. Marvello, about a man with mystical powers. Sub Rosa Subway sounds like 1968 to 1969 Beatles. The vocals are exactly like Paul McCartney's, the drumming like Ringo Starr's, and the guitar work like George Harrison's and John Lennon's. Dr. Marvello sounds like George Harrison a la Blue Jay Way with the rest of the Beatles backing, complete with sitar and reverse tape effects. Other songs have digs from the Beatles' past such as Singing Through Fuzz Tones, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and unmistakable harmonies. Capitol's Stonewallers did disclose that the word Klaatu was taken from a 1951 science fiction movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. On the cover of Ringo Starr's album Goodnight Vienna, Ringo is standing in the doorway of the spaceship next to the robot from that same movie. According to Klaatu's, the band's publishing company, Klaatu can also mean, quote, been here before. Looking up many words from the lyrics, I discovered they concern secrecy, underground, renewal, and revival. A song on the album, Bodsworth Rugglesby III, is misspelled on the back of the album cover, so it says Rubblesby. Defining Bodsworth Rubbles and by Bodsworth Rubblesby could mean persons of importance born of quarrying. The Beatles were first known as the Quarrymen. In Sub Rosa Subway, there is a mention of first New York City and then Washington. The Beatles first arrived in the United States in New York City and played the Ed Sullivan Show and Carnegie Hall. Then they played the Washington Coliseum. The whole album is about magic, mystery, and touring. And true Beatles freaks know that Magical Mystery Tour was the only album the Beatles considered a failure. Could Klaatu be their answer to that? I finally reached Frank Davies, Clatou's sort of manager in Toronto. He said he could not tell me who was in the band. I asked him if it was the Beatles, or whether they had anything to do with Clatou. First, he gave me a flat no, and said that the only Beatle connection was inspirational. But when asked if any of the Beatles played on the album, he hesitated, laughed quietly, hesitated again, and then said that, quote, "everything you've summarized is really pretty accurate all the way around," and that, quote, "everything that is there can and will be identified even without, perhaps them, the people, being seen." To add a final note of intrigue, Davies said there are many clues on the album about the band's identity, the biggest clue being a Morse code message at the end of Sub Rosa Subway, telling a lot about the band, the album, and that song. Davies has offered to give a Clatou album and or posters and buttons to the first person who can decode that message. Entries can be sent to Steve Smith in care of this newspaper. Davies said that, quote, "when it is finally let known as to whom they are, your story will be interesting to look back on." A single by the band was scheduled for release this week. Also, their second album is due out in April. The first album is hard to find and may be ordered from record stores. WBRU-FM is the only radio station giving it any airplay so far. Whoever Clatou is, their album was well worth waiting for. Is it the Beatles? You are welcome to draw your own conclusions. And if yesterday is here, let it be.
I'm not afraid.
So Steve Smith had contacted Capitol Records and they had let him run with his theory. A quote from Smith, "Capitol told me they didn't know anything. I didn't believe them. You don't just sign a band blind. They said they'd sign these guys through Frank Davies, who'd released them on Daffodil Records in Canada." So Smith exchanged letters with Frank Davies and then they spoke on the phone. A quote from Frank Davies, "I was definitely playing coy. By this time the album had been out for 6 months. We did have some great press on it, but it had only sold 7,000 or 8,000 copies in the US. We'd reached a point where we thought the first album was over, and the band had already started working on the second, which was shaping up beautifully. Then Steve's story was published and all hell broke loose sales-wise." Charlie Parker at WDRC in Hartford, Connecticut said on air that it was, quote, "a marvelous experience to listen to the album," and asked, "Who are Klaatu? Are the Beatles really back?" And suddenly Capitol Records had to ship another 20,000 copies to that region of the country. Capitol took a chance and started including Steve Smith's article in the promotional materials for the album. The gamble paid off, and the rumors generated by Smith's article took on a life of their own. A quote from Terry Draper, "We were in England recording. Somebody told us about the Beatles rumor, and we all had a good laugh and went back to work. When we returned to Canada, it went ridiculous. All the magazines, everybody was talking about it. It went around the world via the United Press Agency. We didn't know what to do. Everybody who was making money, including us, was quite delighted that we were selling records and people were talking about us. So, did we want to come out of the closet, squash the rumor, and stop record sales?" A quote from Frank Davies, "Everybody investigating the story found out I used to work for EMI Records in London, who the Beatles were signed to. Then they found out that Terry Brown had been an engineer at Olympic Studios in London, and they started putting all these little pieces together. Meanwhile, AM and FM radio in Providence, Rhode Island began to play tracks from the album, and they interviewed Steve Smith on air. Other radio stations picked up on the story, and within weeks, Klaatu were being played on the radio across the United States." A quote from John Wolichuk, "At that point, we didn't know how much impact it was going to have on our career. It turned into a monster that was beyond our power and control." A quote from Frank Davies, "All sorts of press did interviews with Rupert Perry. They didn't believe the Capitol didn't know who the group was. This record label is sinking money into this band, so they must have met them. So there must be something behind this." Frank Davies was originally from the UK and had worked for Parlophone Records in the 60s. After the Klaatu story hit, he received a postcard from his former EMI colleague Paul McCartney, on which the ex-Beatle wrote that he was, quote, "having a laugh watching all the rumors swirling." Capitol played on the rumors by placing an advertisement in Music Trade magazines with a picture of the sun from the Klaatu album cover and the slogan, "Klaatu is Klaatu." "It was a weak way of denying the rumor," says Wolichuk. "There was never any intention of milking the rumor on our part. We were trying to hold on to our anonymity, though. We were young and idealistic and thought we could weather the storm, which turned out to be incorrect." At the height of the media storm, Klaatu and Terry Brown were in the UK working on the second album, Hope, a concept album including orchestral parts recorded over 3 afternoons at Olympic Studios with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. But because of the ongoing sales of the first album, Capitol decided to push back the release of Hope. A quote from Terry Draper, "We were delighted. It gave us more time to finish it."
Space machine, a hole in the
So there they were, in England, recording their second album, and meanwhile, especially in the United States, these rumors were swirling that Klaatu were actually the Beatles. Lots of so-called clues, some as ridiculous as the word Beatle and the word Klaatu have the same number of vowels and consonants. The Klaatu record was on Capitol Records, which was the American record company for the Beatles. No one was identified on the album, no pictures of the band, no press, so no one in the public knew who the band members actually were. And it is true that some of the vocals on the record do sound like Paul McCartney or John Lennon. It's also true that Ringo Starr had used imagery from The Day the Earth Stood Still on his recent solo album. It's also true that Capitol Records misspelled the name of Sir Bodsworth Rugglesby as Sir Bodsworth Rubblesby. People said that they heard beetles chirping and buzzing at the beginning of calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Of course, why you wouldn't just assume they were crickets and instead say they were beetles is confusing. The song title Sub Rosa Subway was thought to be taken from Paul's Red Rose Speedway. In the song Sir Bodsworth Rugglesby III, there is a line, quote, He's the only man who's ever been to hell and come back alive. Some people thought this was referring to the Paul is dead rumors. While there are 8 trees pictured at the bottom of the front cover, only 7 of the trees have their roots showing. There are 7 letters in the name Beatles. On the back cover of the album is a 2-colored planet. Some took this to be an allusion to Paul's album Venus and Mars. On Abbey Road, the Beatles sing about the Sun King. The Clue 2 album cover, of course, is a picture of the sun. The initials for the Beatles' last album, Abbey Road, are AR. If spelled backwards, that becomes RA or Ra, the Egyptian god of the sun. So another sun connection. These are the kinds of things that people were saying were clues that Clue 2 were actually the Beatles. Meanwhile, Steve Smith was still investigating, and he ended up tracking down a former girlfriend of Terry Draper, and she told him, quote, "If you'd contacted me a couple months ago, I'd have told you the truth, but now I think it's funny." But as Steve Smith said in an interview, quote, "I knew who the band was. I mean, I only did 2 articles about that, but I knew shortly afterwards who the band was. But I wasn't going to say, you know? It ended up costing me money. The Journal told me they would no longer pay for my Clue 2-related phone bills, which hit upwards of $200 per month. Frank Davies, the owner of Clue 2's record label, Daffodil Records, would eventually give Steve Smith a gold record, in acknowledgement of the role that he played, for better or worse, in the success of the first Clue 2 album. But as Steve Smith said, quote, "It probably did hurt the band, but they probably hurt themselves just as much by not coming out and saying, 'We are not the Beatles.' They wanted to go along with the mystique of the music." Another strange piece of the Clue 2 story is that a song from the record, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft, was recorded and released by the Carpenters on their 1977 album Passages. A quote from Clue 2 drummer Terry Draper, "I was a closet Carpenters fan. I'm in a rock band. I can't go around singing close to you." The Carpenters' version of the song was actually a minor hit, right when all of the Clue 2 are the Beatles rumors were at their peak.
All hit radio.
All right, you're listening to All Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour. And right now in our all request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry, I can't hear you too well. You're going to have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay, babe, what would you like to hear again?
We are observing your Earth.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe. So let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
Oh, listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, we... There's...
A contact with you. Baby.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to sing. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. You've been observing our Earth.
and transmit thought energy far beyond the norm. You close your eyes, you concentrate, together that's the way to send the message we declare World Contact Day.
But not everyone bought into the theory. NME ran an article with the headline, "Deaf Idiot Journalist Starts Beatle Rumor." Then Dwight Douglas, the program director for a radio station in Washington, D.C., went to the Library of Congress on his lunch break, asked to see the public copyright registration for Sub Rosa Subway, and uncovered the real names and Canadian addresses of all of the members of CLATOO. A quote from Terry Draper, "When people found out we weren't the Beatles, they thought we'd perpetrated the rumor and duped them, and that came back to haunt us. When the Beatles rumor came out, we should have just stood up and said, 'Hey, we're not the Beatles. We're three losers from Toronto. Get over it.' Instead, we let that rumor ride and watched the sales climb. In retrospect, if we just stood up and said, 'No, we're not the Beatles, but thanks a lot anyway, and here we are,' and then maybe hit the road, that's the biggest regret, that we didn't stand up and say who we were." Rolling Stone gave the band the Hype of the Year award. CLATOO's second album, Hope, was released in September of 1977. The album opens with a mouse squeaking. The first album had ended with a mouse squeaking. The cover art for both albums features a mouse. Terry Draper explains how the second album came together. "I was always a big fan of those concept albums, and I had this idea. It's actually a real theory. It's called Bode's Law, and it's that the planets are equidistant from one another from the sun in a formula. But the fifth planet is non-existent. It's an asteroid belt. The theory is that there used to be a planet there and it exploded. So I took this theory and I turned it into this planet that was so violent that it destroyed itself. And all we're left with is a lighthouse keeper to guide space travel through the shards and remnants of his planet. I proposed this to John and Dee. They thought, 'That's kind of cool,' and everybody went home and wrote songs. And a year later, the Hope album was ready to hit the streets. Hope would barely crack the Billboard charts, making it to number 83. but it did go on to win the Canadian Music Critics Award for Best Album of 1977. The two members officially went public on their third album, Sir Army Suit, which came out in March of 1979. They were even pictured on the back cover, and they made a music video, which was broadcast on Don Kirshner's rock concert.
It happened back in ancient time, when people worked overtime, overtime. In fact, I think in 1985. Life was busy in the big city, and the union was sitting pretty. It wasn't easy to stay alive, and they'd run from the city to the sun and the country and never quite get away. When the weekend came, everybody took a holiday. Everybody took a holiday. Sunday in July, everybody made up
everyone works in the usual way, but at least we had 1 month away. Things are much, much slower now. People get away anyhow, anyhow. And the weekend comes, say, take a holiday. And they run from the city to the sun and the country and never quite get away. When the weekend comes, everybody takes a holiday. Everybody took a holiday. Everybody took a holiday.
Sir Army Suit did not sell, and Capitol Records decided to take control for the band's fourth album, Endangered Species. They brought in an outside producer, Chris Bond, who had worked with Hall & Oates, and most of the instruments on the album ended up being played by Los Angeles-based session musicians. The band members were sent home before the album was even mixed. John Wolachuk, the bass player of Klaatu, said that all of D. Long's lead guitar parts were overdubbed by the producer Chris Bond, with the only exception being Long's guitar solo on Sellout, Sellout, which was actually an attack on their record label, Capitol Records.
Sell out, sell out. It's easy one.
The album was a commercial and critical failure, and as a result, the band was dropped shortly afterwards by Capitol Records. They would release one more album only in Canada. And that was the end for Klaatu. John Woluchuk became an accountant, guitar player D. Long continued to work as an engineer musician, and ended up, ironically, working for Beatles producer George Martin at London Air Studios. In the end, Klaatu were a really good band, made some great music together, and it's too bad that much of their legacy centers around this strange conspiracy theory that sprung up mainly because one guy in Providence, Rhode Island, wrote an article, and radio DJs thought they could get some ratings.
The first album had sat in the delete bin for, well, it was in the delete bin after 9 months of being released, so obviously it hadn't done all that well. And Steve Smith from Rhode Island, New York, wrote an article in a newspaper that's the only article he ever got published as well, and I spoke to him a few years ago at the Klaatu convention 2005, and so it was ironic that the only article he ever actually got published caused such a fuss. But in the article he claimed that this album, the Klaatu album, the first one, was the Beatles reformed. He figured that the Sun on the cover, the face in the sun was a merge of John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and he had dozens of other little clues, reasons why this could be the Beatles reformed. Of course, Sub Rosa Subway sounds a lot like the Beatles. There's a few songs that do. And this came out in the U.S. in the small paper and got picked up and around the world, really, mostly in Europe, Australia, Brazil, and in Canada and the U.S. And it was on all the papers, and suddenly our album started to sell. And, of course, Capitol did not have enough in the stores. They had given up on it, so they had to press them, and over the next few weeks they sold about 1 million copies. They probably would have sold 2 or 3 million had they had enough of them available. They had people lining up down the street to pick them up, and we were in England recording our second album, and when we came back, the secretary at Toronto Sound handed us a stack a couple of feet high of photocopied newspaper articles and magazine articles showing that we were definitely the Beatles, including someone from Australia who had done a voice test on Sub Rosa Subway to conclusively prove that it was Paul McCartney singing. So it was a very strange experience, and we sold a lot of records, but whether it helped our career or not, certainly if our album had remained in the delete bin, nobody would have ever known about us, and we wouldn't be talking now. So it probably did help, at least in the initial stages.
And what was your personal response to that? Did it fuel the ego, or was it embarrassing for you?
Well, it wasn't embarrassing at all, and I guess it did fuel the ego. I mean, I remember thinking, well, this is great. People are obviously liking the music. If they think it could possibly be the Beatles, what higher compliment could you possibly get? But it didn't make us want to come out and show our faces for the same reasons as we didn't want to in the first place. So Capitol in the States took out some ads in Rolling Stone and such, just saying that Clad 2 is Clad 2. And in any interviews, Frank Davies or anybody associated would say that Clad 2 is not the Beatles. This is not the Beatles. They said this over and over again, but at that point, people didn't really want to hear it. And when they finally, somebody looked up in the Library of Records in the U.S. and found the pseudonyms and found our real names and where we lived and realized it was three guys from Toronto, the whole thing sort of tapered off, and I think people got a little upset that they felt they had been hoodwinked or fooled by us, although we had no intention to do that. And I personally always felt that the music we were making was good enough that one way or the other people would hear it and would like it, even at the point where we were working on our second album, the first one had obviously not gone anywhere. I was still convinced that it would happen, and when it did, I just thought, well, this isn't the way I expected it to happen, but this is kind of cool.
Is like a lighthouse keeper's beam. Hope, the master cobbler of our dreams. For ho, 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 believes in desert streams, the mightiest of stars, the microcosm in a jar. Vast or small, they all revolve on hope. Ho, 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 the guardian angel of the dead. Ho, 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 a gift of guidance from above. And ho, 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 is the heart in mother. Ships could bear the seas, but there would be no courage were it not for hope. Now the path before us lies, before sunrise in our minds. To give hope is to enlighten all mankind. All but lose hope, and life seems black as blind. When faith gives way to fear, when motivation disappears, all is lost if one abandons hope. All is lost if one abandons hope.